Vegas. KRLB Las Vegas. Now, time for the official Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Arnish on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Down towards the near corner, Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller, right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas! Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand, score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show here on a Wednesday, day in between games. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish here. I'm gonna recap last night, look ahead towards Pittsburgh. How you doing, Frank? Welcome in.
Well, I'm doing pretty good, you know. Golden Knights game last night, another long day, but always great to see some NHL action. We talked about how it might be a bit of a trap game or whatever. The team insisted that it wouldn't be, but it definitely appeared that way at the start of the game. But, you know, a lot of people are acting like the sky is falling, but they got a point out of it. Again, if you would have said before the season started that at the 30-game mark that they would have 40 points, I think pretty much everybody would have taken that.
The roster move today, Ryan Carpenter, forward from the San Jose Sharks, claimed off of waivers, should be in town, if not later today, perhaps tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be learning a lot about him in the next coming days, Frank.
Yeah, and, you know, always interesting to see what kind of moves there is, and there's a lot of speculation about what kind of moves are still to come with this team, who will stay, who will go, what they're going to do, but bottom line is that's all George McPhee, and he will make those decisions, and we will report on them as they come up.
And Stephane Matteau headed back to Chicago.
Not a big surprise there.
So we will see, because they'll also necessitate another roster move once Will Carrier returns.
Yeah, and of course, everybody looking forward to seeing Will Carrier there back in the lineup. A big part of the success that this team has had early on, and that is one of the problems, again, that we didn't necessarily see before the season started, but you know what? This is a pretty good team, and they actually have a lot of talent, and guys are fighting hard to earn playing time on this team.
Coach Gallant last night in his press conference said he was pleased to be able to escape with a point, perhaps not the best effort that the team gave. We just got back from practice, and it was an optional skate today. Not a lot of fellas were out there today. John Merrill was out there, and Brad Hunt, both goaltenders as well. Brandon Leipzig, Eric Howla, Shea Theodore, but that was about it. It was pretty slim pickings there. A lot of guys, he said, he felt were in need of just a little bit of a rest after the road trip and the hard practice and the game last night and an upcoming long homestand.
Yeah, and again, like you mentioned, the upcoming long homestand. And remember, not only did they play all those games recently, but pretty much every one of them goes to overtime all the time. This team is playing a lot of hockey, a lot of extra sessions of hockey as well. And Gallant talked about it before the game yesterday when we talked to him, too, that, you know what, there's other things going on right now. Maybe some of these guys, as much as a mental break and a physical break from the game, maybe they have other things that they're thinking about right now. What kind of gifts are they getting this holiday season? What are they doing for family plans, different things like that? So maybe some of the guys are out there taking care of other family matters and different things and trying to get all those ducks in a row as well. You know that they're going to be focused for tomorrow night with the Pittsburgh Penguins coming to town.
A coach did address the media today, so we were able to catch up with him, and he took questions from all over the place.
Yeah, it was an optional practice, but like I said, the guys didn't have much jump last night, and I think it's so a lot of guys are taking an option today and getting ready for tomorrow's game.
Is it fatigue, you think, that was the behind not having the jump?
Yesterday, yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, like I said, it catches up to everybody this time of the year, and I thought that last road trip was tough with the fathers and guys trying to do a little bit too much and probably spending a little more time with fathers and helping out. So we'll see. Like I said, I don't think we didn't have a jump like last night like we usually do, and hopefully today a little bit of a rest day and then a little light practice tomorrow and get ready for tomorrow night.
In terms of Phil Kessel before, What's he doing now that he's leading this team to score? We got Crosby, Malkin, and some really talented guys. He's playing at a very high level right now.
Yeah, no, he's a sniper. He's a goal scorer, and he's getting his opportunities, and he's taking advantage of his chances. And obviously, their special teams are real good with their power play. So he's a special power play guy, like I said, with the way he shoots the puck and controls. So Phil's a good hockey player, and like I said, when he plays with those guys, he takes advantage of his opportunities.
Are you pleased with the way you guys are staying out of the box for the most part? It seems like you've
made and I think that's, you know, from the 30 games we've played this year so far, it's a concentrated effort of, you know, not having to kill. Because every time we have to kill four or five, six penalties, we get in trouble. And if you can kill two or three a game, I think it makes a big difference in your PK. And usually when the guys do that, they stay out of the box, and PK is a lot better. Because you don't want to tire guys out. It's tough to kill penalties in the NHL today. You're blocking shots, yeah, you know, and it really wears on our guys.
Will you say anything in the room tomorrow before the game about this? It's a big night for Fleury, but also for a few other guys.
We'll do the same preparation as coaches. Those guys know in the room. They'll know in the room. They take care of that stuff. And it's a fun game. I mean, they're the Stanley Cup champions. You know what I mean? They got Sidney Crosby and Malkin and Letang and those type of players. So they're fun games to play and fun games to get up for. And like I said, they're the defending champs. So.
I think it's going to be a more physical and faster-paced game tomorrow night.
I don't know about physical. I mean, I think it's going to be a fast game. I think it's going to be two teams that are going to work hard and skate hard. And, you know, Pittsburgh's the type of team that they can push the pace with anybody in the league, and that's why they're the defending champs.
After kind of a flat game last night, how much easier does it make your job trying to get these guys up for a game?
No, they get themselves ready. We prepare the team the same way every time as our coaching staff, but players get themselves ready. We don't got to go in there and start cheerleading and trying to pump them up. They get themselves ready to play, and that's why they're professionals.
Any injury update on Will
Carrier? Be honest with you, I never heard nothing yet today. I'm going to hear it after practice, but I haven't heard nothing. Is he out there skating?
Nope.
He's not out there skating, yeah, so I'll find out more today. He won't be playing tomorrow, that's for sure. But
touch on Colin a little bit, just maybe the vision and kind of his ability to stretch a defense. And obviously the pass in Nashville was not a stretch pass, per se.
Yeah, no, Colin's a good player. He's the guy that moves the puck real well. And when he gets that puck up the ice to our forwards, that's when we're dangerous. It's a good transition team, and any good team in the NHL has got a good transition game. And I think Colin leads the way with the – he made some great passes, and he's got good vision, and, you know, he's an offensive guy that's playing much better defensively this year, too. So we really like where his game's gone.
Do you know much about Ryan Carpenter, the player that's just claimed on waivers?
No, not much at all. I know him as I've seen him playing a couple of games, but I don't know much about him at all. A lot more in the next couple of days.
He's going to be here tomorrow. Don't know.
George hasn't talked to me yet. George and then Kelly talked to him, but I haven't heard nothing yet.
Cool.
Any more questions for Turk?
Matt Murray's been recently activated. He's going to maybe play tomorrow night. How does the preparation change if he's not in goal tomorrow or if at all?
Doesn't. Not one bit. No. The other goalie's a good goalie, too. And like I said, we do our homework on both their goaltenders, and we'll put some stuff up on the board, but it doesn't change nothing the way we play.
So Gerard Gallant talking about Pittsburgh, a little bit about the effort last night. A lot of what you would expect him to say, Frank, nothing really changes. You don't make any other adjustments. You know that's not entirely true, but he's looking at this as another opportunity for the team to get points.
Yeah, and there's obviously adjustments made. I mean, that's what coaches do. If there was never any adjustments, you wouldn't need coaches to do anything because the players would just go out there and always know what to do. They do play a little bit differently in front of Marc-Andre Fleury. We saw that last night, that maybe some of the chemistry wasn't there because he plays a different style of goalie. He's a little bit more aggressive. It obviously means more to some of the players and some of the other guys on the ice. You know, they want Fleury to get the win. James Neal is also somebody who's looking forward to tomorrow night. We all think of him as a Nashville Predator, but before that he was with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he left there for Nashville just before they became the team that won back-to-back Stanley Cups. So it means a lot to a lot of people out there. And again, Pittsburgh is also one of those types of team that's a measuring stick. They're not having a great season right now for them. They're, you know, 3 games under 500. They've lost 2 games in a row. They're in 6th place in the Metropolitan Division. But we know that this team has the pedigree to win a Stanley Cup. They've done it the last 2 times. And anytime you have Crosby and Malkin on the ice, if you're not up for that, then you're in the wrong profession.
Certainly are. And Marc-Andre Fleury was certainly the topic of discussion today, not just among the media pool, but after practice in the locker room as well. And a lot of folks had thoughts on the way that he played. Generally speaking, favorable marks for his performance.
And they should be. I mean, he played well. The first goal was a complete fluke. The second goal, again, and we talked about it in the post-game show last night, he made a great save right before that goal happened. Then nobody cleared the puck out. There was a lot of traffic in front of the net, and a guy who hadn't scored the entire season for Carolina up to this point, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, got his first goal of the year. It was a good shot. Fleury almost got over there and stopped that one as well. Those kind of things happen. He didn't give up anything else the rest of the game. He gave them an opportunity to win. They lost the game in a shootout, but again, they got 1 point last night. Now they have bigger games up. And oh, by the way, he hasn't played since October 13th. The guy's missed 25 games. He's probably a little bit rusty. You can do everything you want to in practice. So overall, against a team that was struggling themselves but really wanted a victory as well, he played fine. He did his job. It just wasn't quite good enough because, unfortunately, for the Golden Knights and their fan base, Cam Ward played lights-out goal for Carolina at the other end of the ice.
Yeah, fine performance by Cam Ward, who notched his 300th career win in the NHL. But we were able to catch up with David Perron and ask him about what it meant to have Fleury back, about his performance, and what changes playing in front of a three-time Stanley Cup winner.
I think Fleury played great. Obviously, the first goal, he couldn't do anything. It was just a mistake. And then from there, like I think once the first goal went in, he was playing even more his game. He was calm. Back there, he was having fun. He made a big save, I think, on the power play in the second or third period. And you can see his smile, and that's normally a good sign. He's talking to guys on the ice. What's impressive for me is he's so aware of who's out there with him. Like, if I make a good defensive play, he's going to basically talk to me in French, and if it's someone else, he's same thing. Like, he's very aware out there. He's not just talking to anybody. He knows who he's talking to, and he's involved in the play. It's fun. Yeah, we missed him. Like, when he was out, you go on road trips. We have a group text, kind of everybody together, and we're talking, and every once in a while he'd be chipping in for something, and you could tell that he was missing out on that, but We really did a good job to keep our season alive without him, and we want to obviously keep adding with him. I think that the challenge for us is to play the same way that we've been playing and not expect him to bail us out every night. The first couple of games that we played this year was a little bit like that with Dallas. The first game, he had to stand on his head the whole game for us to have a chance at winning, and we want to do more than that. We want to keep showing that we're more than kind of a goalie, I guess, in the end. But at the same time, we're extremely fortunate and happy to have him.
That was David Perron talking about Marc-Andre Fleury. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Clayton Hamilton and Frank Harnish. And what you like about that is something that we had talked about ad nauseum, Frank, was that they wanted to get away from the feeling that he was going to bail them out all the time, and that they really needed to play more of a team game in front of him, and David Perron recognizing that as well.
And, you know, as much as nobody wanted to see Marc-Andre Fleury go down with an injury because he's a great guy and he's also a great goalie, in some ways maybe this team rallied around and became a little bit more of a team once he did go down, because they were forced to rally around the other younger goalies that were in the net for them. They had to play a different type of thing. They had to maybe pinch back a little bit, not because they knew that Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't back there to bail them out. And you do have to wonder a little bit, is great as this season has been up to this point here, and we don't know what's going to happen down the road the rest of the way. Are they a playoff team? Do they make the playoffs and make noise in the playoffs? Or do they kind of fall back down to what people thought they were going to be before the season, and they don't end up being a playoff team? You have to wonder, if they didn't get off to the start they did, with Marc-Andre Fleury doing what he did, and with James Neal, another guy who's really looking forward to tomorrow night with all the game-winning goals he got at the start of the season, if they start out losing those first three games, or going into a streak where they don't get too many points at the start of the season, where would they be right now? Would that have crushed a young team that hadn't been together before, and maybe the chemistry doesn't happen in different things? And, of course, different things in the city and everything like that happen as well. So the success they have right now, I believe you can directly equate to the success they had early on in the season because they got out of the blocks fast because of Marc-Andre Fleury and James Neal, and now everybody else is stepping up. They're having that success. And I will say this, too, with David Perron there. He talks about how much the team is excited and happy to have Marc-Andre Fleury back. Well, remember, he just came off an injury himself not too long ago. The team's also happy to have guys like him around. This is a quality team with quality people who just happen to also be pretty darn good hockey players.
What was really funny about that was he was talking about just how aware of everything Marc-Andre Fleury is. And let's not forget, he's in front of 17,000 people in the middle of a very, very fast-paced NHL game, and he remembers what language each player prefers that he speaks to them in.
It kind of makes you. I wonder how many languages he speaks, or at least how many he speaks a little touch of here and there.
Right,
because he's a very intelligent guy. But that definitely does say something. And you also have to wonder too, if he knows that he's got one of his French-speaking defensemen in front of him, he can say something to him that the other team's player that's down in the zone, they probably don't know what they're saying. Most goalies just shout it out in English or whatever it is, and so everybody around them hears what they're saying. If you're speaking something, the other guy might have his head on a swivel going, wait, what? I don't even know what he just said to him.
Yeah, he's just a remarkable fellow, Marc-Andre Fleury, and we had a little opportunity to talk with him earlier today. We're going to have some sound and some quotes for him for you guys tomorrow from what he had spoken about after practice today and after the game yesterday. But just a remarkable guy. And somebody that you want to root for, and somebody that it's hard to believe that everything that's been said about him is true, and it is. But he takes this very seriously, and you could see today in practice with the work that he was doing. It was mostly just a goaltender practice today. He and Malcolm Subban were taking shots from some of the guys that haven't played a lot of minutes. Dave Pryor was the only coach that was really out there sort of instructing things that were going on. But you could tell he took it personally that they only got 1 point last night.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what leaders do. I'm sure he did take it personally, and I'm sure that he does take it personally. And he's also smart enough to know, not only when he's on the ice, he's smart enough to know that on this upcoming schedule for the rest of this homestand, they got some pretty darn good teams coming up. Pittsburgh, obviously, tomorrow night. We all know about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Florida's not a bad team, and they have that extra grind because of what happened with Gerard Gallant and, of course, Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. And let's face it, it's bottom line is you want to win every game out there. Then Tampa Bay and Washington, this is a very difficult homestand. I'm sure that when they were looking ahead to this homestand after getting that mini sweep on the two-game road trip and they were feeling good about themselves, they probably looked at this, and everybody does it. They all say that, well, we don't look at schedules or you don't look ahead or something like that. It's human nature. We all do. They probably had an idea in their mind of how many points they'd like to get out of this or they need to get out of this homestand. Last night was probably 2 points in most of their minds. They got one. So now they're behind where they think they should be going into this one. So, yeah, they probably all take it personally.
I don't care what any of them say. They all look at the schedule ahead of time. They all check the out-of-town scoreboard all season long. They all check the standings all season long. And we addressed that with Derek England today, talked to him about the grind of this homestand. But first, we wanted to check in on his health and see how that eye was doing.
Oh, that's good.
You guys good?
Yeah, that's good.
And how's the hand?
It's all right.
It's all good. Right,
yeah.
Too. Okay.
Yeah, can't complain.
And how was the goal last night?
It's good. It was, like I said, get a puck there and just try to get it through, and it found its way to the net.
Now, we hear a lot through the year that every game is just another game, but through the course of an 82-game season, sometimes maybe find motivation in particular matchups. Is there anything that you're looking forward to tomorrow night with the Stanley Cup champs coming in to maybe re-energize the group?
Yeah, you go to play those guys, a couple of the best players in the world on that team, and it's an easy game to get up for, and they've won the cup the last 2 years, so you want to knock off the best and go shot for shot against them, and play good defensively against their skill and speed, and on top of that, we got Flower here that's spent a lot of time there, so you want to go out and give it your all and try to get the win for him.
Each one of the games on this homestand presents a different level of emotion. Flower back, Pittsburgh coming in. You've got Turk's old team on Sunday. You've got two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference right after that. How do you maintain a level of emotion and is it possible with that kind of homestand?
Yeah, I think we've done a good job so far this season with the emotion, and we're just taking it one game at a time. You know, get ready for Pittsburgh tomorrow and then worry about the next one the next day. So we just got to keep going the same way, come out for 60 minutes and play a 20-man team.
Could you reflect a little bit on Shea Theodore from what you saw from him during training camp to now being your partner for a number of games?
Yeah, he's got a lot of tools. He can skate. He's very offensive, and he's not a liability in your own end. He plays hard, and you know, there's a lot of upside to him. He's you see every game, he's getting more and more confidence. Playing with that goes a long ways, and you know, he's making those little plays that maybe he didn't 10 games ago. So just his confidence and how he's playing now goes a long way.
That was Derek England talking about his goal last night, a homestand, and Shea Theodore. And I was glad to see that his eye and that his hand were better, Frank, because the puck that he took last night was just above the cheekbone under the socket, and it was in a nasty place, maybe a little bit higher, and he could be lost for a long time.
Yeah, and an injury that maybe some other guys, quite frankly, wouldn't have to worry about or deal with, because Derek England's been around the league long enough that he has the option of not wearing that face shield in front of him, the visor. He opts not to wear it. So if you're wondering how come some guys do and some guys don't, well, depending on when they mandated that you had to wear it if you entered the league after a certain point, Derek England was in the league before that. You have to wonder if maybe he'll think about wearing it again, or maybe he's just not comfortable doing it. But yeah, when we saw that eye last night and you looked at it and it was like, wow, that's definitely going to leave a mark. That is nasty. But he's a tough guy. He likes to portray that tough guy type of image out there. And he says he's better. I'm sure he is better. That doesn't mean that he's still not a little bit dinged up and that he might not see, be a little bit blurry vision once in a while or something like that here and there. But he's used to playing with injuries. He's used to being banged up a little bit. But the good thing about him and guys like him, he might be nicked up, but the guy that's facing him, he's going to nick them up a little bit as well. Derek England is one of the guys who epitomizes what this team is. And really, when you come right to it, Marc-Andre Fleury is the face of this team. Derek England might be the soul of this team, or at least he was before the season started, because he was the guy that already was a Las Vegas native. And let it be known to everybody out there, whether the Golden Knights take me or they don't take me, this is and will be my home.
And he certainly has played above, I think you would think, all expectations of what you would expect from him, particularly offensively. You
know, three goals.
Three goals, his 11th point last night, and has not been unwilling to be a part offensively. Certainly he's a defensive-minded defenseman first, but the pairing with Shea Theodore has worked really well. He seems to be really enjoying that partnership, not just on the ice, but off the ice. And you see those two joking around the locker room, kind of hanging out, taking that opportunity to be a mentor, you know, not just for the team as a whole, but I think he's taken a real interest in Shea Theodore as a person and as a player.
All right, and again, Shea Theodore, if he is, like we suspect he will be, one of the guys who's going to be around here for a long, long time, what better mentor could you have on that team than a guy who's been a veteran of the league, who knows the ropes, who's been down in different parts of it? Not all of his career has been up in the NHL with the nice, you know, the five-star hotels and the jet flying and all that kind of stuff. He's had some times. He played for the Las Vegas Wranglers, for crying out loud, and he also knows this community. So he can show somebody like Shea Theodore what to do as far as a hockey player on the ice, a person off the ice, and who better to show him around this community where to go and, well, where to stay away from as well as a youngster.
That's right, Derek England, a true treasure for this team. Still lots more to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. When we come back, we're going to check in with Golden Knight Insider Gary Lawless, get his impressions on last night, and a look forward to Pittsburgh tomorrow. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio, the home for the Golden Knights in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, here on a Wednesday in between games. 3-2 shootout loss last night for the Golden Knights with the Carolina Hurricanes, but things starting to get lit real quick, Frank. two-time defending Stanley Cup champions coming to town. They're already in town, been here for 2 days, Frank. Do you think perhaps Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Connor Sheary, I think they've caught a little bit of the Vegas flu?
I can kind of hope that they do. And if you are a local bartender or something like that, and they're coming to your watering hole, please give them double shots. Give them a little bit extra. Let them enjoy their time here in Las Vegas. I want to throw this in real quick, too, because we heard Alex Tuck on the way back as one of the liners that did something for us. And we talked about positive from last night's game. Alex Tuck didn't score last night. They only had 2 goals. He was not involved in either one of them. But he is one of the positives from last night's game. He played his butt off. He played the entire game. We talked about how some of the guys maybe were a little bit lackluster in that. Alex Tuck is one of those guys, when you watch him on a nightly basis, from game to game, from literally shift to shift, he is giving 100% every time he's out there. So Alex Tuck, one of those young players, one of those young, hungry Lions on this team, he is one of those guys that I thought did have a good game last night.
I thought Alex Tuck as well, he was noticeable, particularly working well with Brendan Leipzig, who you just hope one of these days is going to get that puck in the net. He's been so close so many times. Cody Eakin, very steady last night. That was a good line. And another guy that stood out for me was Oscar Lindberg. And Oscar Lindberg is a guy that sometimes doesn't get any publicity or might get lost because he's traveled up and down the four lines. But I thought that he had a really good game last night. He had noticeable chances. He got in behind the net, which is a place that we're starting to see when he has success, it's down low, and he did that last night.
Yeah, he definitely did last night. And again, they're not the only ones, but they are some of the players that did stand out to us. So for anybody there, and it is funny too because, you know, there were a lot of hockey fans here in town before. The Thunder had a nice following. The Las Vegas Wranglers had a nice following. And we talk about it, but there's a lot of people that are kind of getting new to hockey now, and they're jumping on that hockey bandwagon. But it's interesting when you see some of the people who didn't know a blue line from a red line, a face-off circle from the center ice or whatever before, and now you actually hear them talking about stuff. And they're not always accurate about everything they say, but at least they're making that effort in that, and they're giving their 2 cents and their opinions about things, about what went wrong and why we didn't do this and why that shouldn't have happened and second-guessing the coach and all that kind of stuff. And I do find it refreshing and enjoyable. And as the city learns the game more, the crowd will get that much more experienced and knowledgeable as well. We've seen it in places like Nashville. So, you know, and I don't think it's going to take us as long to get onto hockey as it did in Nashville because, like I mentioned, a lot of people out here were already big hockey fans before the Vegas Golden Knights.
But one of the things that was funny last night when we were sitting up getting ready to do the pregame show, and like I said, we're always outside Section 213, 212, 213 T-Mobile Arena, so come by and say hello. And the lady that came up to you and she asked, who's going to play in goal tonight? And you said, Marc-Andre Fleury. And she goes, oh, I like Subban better.
Yeah, yeah. I that is one thing. If you would have told me before the season started that someone was going to come up and be upset that Marc-Andre Fleury was the choice for the Vegas Golden Knights in goal that night, I would have said, yeah, that's not going to happen unless it's somebody wearing a sweater from the other team. This lady has really apparently taken an affinity to Malcolm Subban. She loves the way he plays. She thinks that he's the goalie of the future there. And she made no bones about it. She was like, oh, yeah, well, I really like Subban. And she didn't say she didn't like Marc-Andre Fleury, but the look on her face and her body language kind of did.
And we've seen that. We've seen a number of Subban jerseys starting to make their appearance around T-Mobile Arena. And he really has captured the imagination of this community. And partly of is, I think, when we look at Malcolm Subban from our community, we do see ourselves in him. And he's somebody that came with all of the possibilities in the world, like all the rest of us that show up here in Las Vegas with not much to our name other than our name and are trying to make a living here. And he's really a reflection of the town. And I think people really have gravitated to his underdog story and a polite, quiet kid made good.
And from the underdog story thing, too, you can also say that he kind of encapsulates the thing of a second chance, the lucky loser type guy. Boston had basically given up on him. When Malcolm Subban was picked up by the Vegas Golden Knights, I know a lot of Boston fans that cheered and were happy. They were glad to see him gone and out of Boston. And he came here, and again, we liked him during the expansion draft. We actually thought that he might be the player that the Vegas Golden Knights took. But he has taken this opportunity. He's an absolute sponge when he's talking to Dave Pryor. He's listening. He wants to get better. And it is kind of interesting, too, because you said how he does a lot of things about Vegas. If you thought from the outside world, the Subban that was Vegas-related, you'd say it was PK Subban, the flashy guy, the dresser who does this, that, and the other. But like we've said and like these players have found out, Vegas is so much more than just the Strip, and it is the whole community. Malcolm encompasses the other part of Vegas in that, too. So it is nice, and boy, I hope he turns into the goalie that we all hope that he can be, because he is a great athlete, and when he really gets that goal position down, he could be a staple for a long, long time.
Yeah, certainly good to see him do well. And from one person new to the city to another, not so new anymore, is our own Gary Lawless, who's now entrenched in Las Vegas as his home. We haven't talked to Gary in a while, so we thought we'd like to catch up with him and get his thoughts on last night and the upcoming rest of the homestand. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. Good to talk to you. Pretty big week, I would say, in the Vegas Golden Knights. Get Marc-Andre Fleury back, get Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and the defending Stanley Cup champions tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. This is you guys were around the room quite a bit recently, and can tell that all the players are excited to have Marc-Andre Fleury back, and now are excited to kind of have his back when they face his old team, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, they would like nothing more than deliver a victory for Marc-Andre Fleury tomorrow night against the team that drafted him first overall and employed him through three Stanley Cup championships.
Gary, we all know about the incredible success that this team has had at the T-Mobile Arena, but you look to this homestand, and last night they got the point against Carolina, but they do have the emotional game tomorrow night with Pittsburgh. Then Florida comes to town, and you know that Gerard Gallant and a couple other players would really love to beat that team, maybe even bury them if possible because of some of the stuff that went down. Then you have Tampa Bay and Washington. As good as this team has been at home, with those teams coming into town and the holidays and everything else wrapped around things, this could be a very difficult homestand, but if they can come out of this with some victories and like everybody would like them to, this could say a lot about what happens and sets up down the road.
Yeah, you know, they've got they've played 30 games, they now have 40 points after 30 games, and I think 92 points is kind of the number that people are using in terms of the playoff line for this season in the Western Conference. It could go up, it could go down a little bit, but I think if Vegas goes 500 the rest of the way, they're probably in pretty good shape after the start they've had. But that's the trick, right? And you know, home games, we all know that, you know, their 500 record on the road is fantastic, and if you do a little bit better at home, you're in position to be playing in the spring when the tournament starts. So, yeah, these are very big games for Vegas.
Gary Lawless joining us here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. And, Gary, let's talk about a couple of different players. And I'd like to start with Colin Miller. And when Colin Miller came, sort of the book that we had on him is he's going to be a fast skater with a really good shot. But I think the thing that surprised a lot of people getting to see him on a daily basis has been his ability to create offense from the defensive zone with really good stretch passes. And he's a lot more defensive-oriented and defensive-minded and trustworthy than I think the scouting report was on him.
You know, one of the things that I think Ryan McGill has done really well with the Golden Knights is he's matched skill sets. So he's, you know, when Colin Miller is playing with Lucas Pisa or Braden McNabb or Derek England, you're getting that mix of a guy who is a veteran, who understands the defensive side of the game and can work with Colin and let Colin feel free to, you know, to live up to that offensive potential that he has. And it also rubs off on the offensive player where they figure out, you know, if I pull back on the reins and I go at 80%, instead of 100% in terms of offense, that we're going to be better off as a team. And I think you're seeing the evolution of Colin Miller, the maturation of Colin Miller as a player, where he's getting that confidence with all the minutes he's playing, which he didn't have in Boston, where he's able to realize I can impact the game offensively, but he's also figuring out how to be a strong player in his own zone and keep the puck out of his own net. And it's been, he's one of those players like William Karlsson and like Eric Holla and Alex Tuch, where opportunity has allowed him to show what he can be. And it's been a real nice story.
How about some of the other defensemen on this team? Where do you see their roles as the team moves on in the next couple seasons? Obviously, we know Brayden McNabb just signed the contract. Shea Theodore looks like he could be a piece of this puzzle for a while. But, of course, guys like Nate Smith have played very well. Lucas Pisa, who raised some eyebrows when they were talking about putting one of the A's on his jersey. I mean, there's a lot of guys here with a lot of guys that are already talented, but with a Marc-Andre Fleury between the pipes and a guy like Derek England kind of showing them the ropes and showing them how to get there. There's a lot of guys with a pretty high ceiling on the defensive side of the puck.
Well, I think Nate Schmidt is, the best example of what I was just talking about. He went from a situation where I think he was averaging around 13 minutes a night in Washington and is now playing, averaging 22 minutes a night and is the leading ice time player for the Vegas Golden Knights. And, he's still a restricted free agent and just went through arbitration last year. And, I think Vegas would probably like to sign to find a way to get a deal done with him where he's here for the next 4 or 5 years. He can skate and he's a great leader. He's a great team guy. He's immersed himself in this community. So, Schmidt, Theodore, those are guys that and Miller, those are guys that that I think they can build around. McNabb, Spezza, and Derek England. I'll tell you what, everyone sort of thinks that Derek England kind of near the end. It just has shown me that he's just been so committed to fitness and to improving. He's a better skater than people give him credit for, and he's just been fantastic. And Brayden McNabb, a great value contract for George McPhee. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they tried to do something similar with Spezza because they love him. He is really strong. He skates well. There's some bite to his game. And the big mistake that everybody talked about in Vancouver, you're not seeing that from Lucas Spezza because he's not trying to be something that he isn't. He's comfortable in his role here. Jared Gallant has just done such a nice job figuring out what people's strengths are, and then empowering them to live up to those strengths. It's been a masterful job of coaching and management from that perspective, in my opinion.
I think there were probably a lot of people that were surprised that Brayden McNabb was the first sort of contractual domino to fall, but then there was a lot of encouragement with that because it showed the fan base that this organization is willing to do contracts during the season. It's willing to look forward long-term to the future. What do you think, if anything, the McNabb deal has on the relationship with Jonathan Marchessault and the potential for him to stay here long-term?
I don't think anything. I think every play, every circumstance or individual is different. And if a player wants to hit that home run and get max dollars, it's kind of incumbent upon him to go to free agency and to test the market. And if that's what a player wants to do, there's almost nothing a team can do to dissuade him from that other than overpay. And George McPhee isn't going to overpay. So, I think that George is probably looking at this group and wanting to keep a lot of them and to do reasonable deals with a lot of them, but every player, every circumstance is going to be unique. And if a guy wants to, if he's earned that right, he's played his career and he's in position to become an unrestricted free agent. And that may only happen to you once in your career, and you owe it to your family to do what's best for them. So that is, those decisions are individual decisions. We'll watch them unfold as the season goes. But, mentioned that McPhee was willing to do things in season. A big part of what's happening right now, or it has been happening since the season started, has been evaluation of these players. They evaluated them last year from afar. And now once you have that player in-house and you see how he practices every day, you see how he trains, you see how he responds to a win, how he responds to a loss, you know, then you can make decisions on them long-term. And that's, you know, McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon are probably nearing the end of that process and starting to make their plans on who do we want to keep.
You know, another evaluation that's taken place is the players' evaluation of this city. Everybody has a preconceived idea of Las Vegas before they come out here. You had one before you came out here. We all did before we moved out here. How has the theme of Las Vegas changed in that locker room with some of the players? Because it seems like, to a man, every time you talk to somebody and they realize the community and every other aspect here, it seems like there might be more and more players willing to maybe talk with the Vegas Golden Knights that might want to stay around here a little while longer if they get that opportunity.
Well, this has become a prime place in the NHL to play. The planning of on the part of Bill Foley and Murray Craven and George McPhee to have, you know, City National Arena in Summerlin to allow the players to spend most of their time in Summerlin and then go down to the rink to T-Mobile for game nights. It's been it's easy to live here. You know, that's the bottom line. The weather's good, for 8 months of the year. And, you know, the big chunk of the summer where it gets tough, a lot of the guys won't be around. They'll be in their hometowns. There's no traffic. There's no state tax. It's reasonably priced. And, you know, this might be the biggest thing of all. You've got an owner who's committed to winning and is going to spend that money. And you've got a fan base who has turned T-Mobile Arena into one of the best places in the National Hockey League to watch or play in an NHL game.
It's been great having you, Gary, and we hope that you're here with us long term. Always fun talking to you, and look forward to seeing you down at the rink tomorrow. When we come back, we're going to take a look at that fan base of the Golden Knights and how they stack up with some of the other fan bases, not just around the NHL, but around the rest of sports. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton on Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show winding down. Day between games tomorrow. Pittsburgh Penguins in town. 6:30 pregame for you. 7 o'clock puck drop right here on Fox Sports Radio. Frank and I will be down at the arena. Come on by section 212, 213 to say hello or see us at the beer house for the postgame show. And the fan base, I think we would agree, pretty good to start off the Golden Knights' tenure in the National Hockey League, Frank?
No, it's been great. Now, and again, some people are going to say, well, it's because of the success of the team and it's something new and this, that, and the other. But bottom line is you can't argue with anything yet. And the one thing that we seem to be seeing more and more, and we knew we'd see it last night, more and more Golden Knights jerseys in the crowd as well. The other team still has some representation, but seems like more and more people jumping on this bandwagon. If you're not on it yet, get on. Plenty of room.
Well, the fandom will be tested tomorrow, as according to fandom.com, who ranks all fan bases across all sports, the number one NHL fan base is the Pittsburgh Penguins. They are coming to town. Not only are they number one in the NHL, but they are ranked number six across all of sports.
Well, good for them. And you know what? When you see one of them, ask them to buy you a beer because they've spent some money to get those tickets, so they probably got some.
You know who's number one across all sports?
Oh, I have no idea.
The Ohio State University.
Oh, well, there you go.
They are number one. Alabama Crimson Tide, number two. Pittsburgh Steelers, three. Chicago Cubs, four. Dallas Cowboys, five. And the Pittsburgh Penguins coming in at number one. The Vegas Golden Knights did not make the list this year, but perhaps they will next year. If you and I have anything to do with it, or the next guy on the lineup, T.C. Martin, the doctor, he'll be at the arena tomorrow as well. See you tomorrow. Enjoy.